Chapter 26. The Junker ship came in low over Sibensko's southern axis. Stretching out in every direction, as far as the eye could see, was nothing but dark, choppy water.
Are we completely certain these are the correct coordinates?
C-3PO had become peeved as soon as they'd dirtied him up, and it amused Leia that his mood had only worsened since then.
Rin Riven Dai and his associates are rather low sorts of people. Exactly the type to send us in the wrong direction altogether.
They may be lowlifes, Leia replied, but they're lowlifes who want a job done. This has to be the place. Ready, Greer? Greer wore full Mandalorian armor in gray and black. The helmet hung on a hook in the back, awaiting her departure from the ship.
Sending the codes now.
Joff's voice sounded high-pitched and metallic within the Ubi's bounty hunter's mask.
So how do you let someone into an underwater city?
Leia pulled her ragged cloak more tightly around her. Let's hope we're about to find out. The comm unit on the main console erupted into static, through which a low voice said,
Codes confirmed. Prepare to land.
How are we supposed to land without land?
Joff muttered. As he spoke, however, the waters churned. From the depths emerged a broad, circular platform ringed by red stripes. Greer swiftly brought the ship around, swooping in and landing with such lightness that Leia hardly felt the runners make impact. The moment they touched down, the red stripes at the platform's circumference glowed brightly, and the air around them took on the strange, iridescent sheen of a force field. Then the platform sank under the seas again, and the force field kept the water at bay. Within moments, they were plunging into depths almost untouched by sunlight above. In the murky ocean, Leia caught glimpses of movement. Enormous sea creatures unbothered by the activity on Sibensko, or used to it. To them, Leia supposed, all the smugglers and thieves that came to this place were only a small, irrelevant part of the vast ocean.
Here it comes, Greer said.
Beneath them floated what first appeared to be a cloud of green light. As the ship got closer, the light took shape, forming itself into a kind of glass labyrinth. Tubes and tunnels connected undersea domes, fuzzy with algae but still glowing. Leia looked down to see huge mechanized plates opening wide like a blooming flower surrounding them. The platform finished its descent with a small shudder and thud. The mechanized plates rose again, closing into a secure dome, and then the roar of water pumps began. As Leia watched, the water level descended until only a few puddles remained on the floor.
Atmospheric levels outside normalizing.
Greer looked up from her console and smiled.
We're in.
Joff could hardly contain himself.
Okay, I know these people are pure scum, but I have to admit, this is incredible.
Criminals can be as ingenious as the rest of us. More, sometimes. Leia pulled up the hood of her cloak, then pulled a thin veil over her nose and mouth. She thought that would disguise her, though the cloak was shabby enough to ensure few people would give her more than a glance in the first place. But I have to admit, this setup is a whole lot larger and more sophisticated than I would have expected. The Hutts could have financed something like this at their height, but virtually no one else.
It's been expanded dramatically from what we know. This is at least 4 times the size of the outpost it used to be.
Greer went for her helmet.
And we're supposed to think Rin Riven Dai put this together in only a few years?
She was right. This was bigger than criminal money, Leia realized. Even though the Hutts could have built something so extravagant, would they have bothered? Jabba himself had been content to build his palace on a world as obscure and dull as Tatooine. Whoever had built this had deep pockets and high ambitions. The only groups who build on this scale, she thought, are governments. Or would-be governments. Maybe the Amaxine warriors aren't as far out on the fringe as I believed. First things first, she said, half to herself. Let's find Rin Riven Dai. Their satellite data only told them what planet he was on. She wanted to know his location down to the millimeter. Joff turned toward her.
I've been wondering how we were going to do that.
Easy. Leia took the tracker out of her cloak pocket and activated it. Sure enough, within moments, a sensor began to blink. He's not far away. A click? Maybe two?
You put a tracker on him?
Joff said.
How did you manage that?
The first time Rin Rivendai and I met, he gave me a certain holocube that meant a lot to him. Leia thought again of the small image of her younger self, seemingly vulnerable, actually preparing to commit murder. I inserted a microscopic tracker into the cube, then returned it to him. It's one of Rin Rivendai's prized possessions. I knew that if he ever got it back, he'd never let it out of his keeping again.
But the tracker only tells us where the holocube is, Greer pointed out. Not where Rin Riven is.
Leia nodded. True. He may be storing it in a ship or in his quarters here. Still, if we don't find the man himself, we find a place he's sure to return to. If we can record him here, particularly dealing with anyone we can trace to the Amaxine warriors, then we'll be able to link his cartel with the paramilitary group even more closely.
What made you so certain he'd never give it up?
Joff asked. She allowed herself one moment to relish her memory of Jabba's desperate gurgling just before he died. I was sure. Let's leave it at that. Greer settled the helmet on her head, and when she spoke again, her voice sounded slightly metallic.
The door's opening. Let's get out there and hustle like two pilots desperate for their next meal.
You got it.
Joff clapped his gloved hands together.
Are we entirely sure this is safe?
C-3PO asked plaintively. Everyone knew better than to pay him any attention. Greer led the way, with Joff at her elbow. Although this worked for their cover identities, she suspected he was staying so close in case she collapsed again. Part of her wanted to be irritated by his concern. But mostly, it touched her. She had told so few people about her condition, precisely because she didn't want to be treated like some delicate trinket that could shatter at the slightest touch. Captain Solo and Princess Leia had known better than to do that, which meant Joff was the first person to hover around her so protectively. It turned out the hovering was actually kind of sweet. At the moment, however, they didn't need sweet. They needed to come across as tough and hardened, ready for anything. She strode ahead of Joff, gaining the lead, just as a man in a black jumpsuit greeted them. His shaggy beard and hair didn't disguise the sharpness and hostility in his eyes. Greer remembered that jumpsuit. It was identical to the ones worn by the Amaxine warriors on Daxam 4.
"Welcome to Sibensko," he said with a bow, his elaborate politeness almost mocking. "I'll need your work codes now."
As though exasperated, Greer took out her datapad and sent him the code.
Come on, she thought. Come on.
He nodded in satisfaction.
Good. We've been expecting you. My name is Pedric. I'll guide you through pickup and transfer.
Pedric's attention drifted toward the droid and hooded figure behind them.
We hired two. Why have four come?
She's an indenture we picked up for a few extra credits. The droid keeps her tagged, makes sure she does her master's bidding. I have her indenture codes if you need to see them.
Greer had found a real set of indenture codes for a woman who almost matched Princess Leia in age and height, but who had recently been freed. Sure enough, after another moment, Pedric relaxed slightly.
Fine. But she and the droid remain in public areas only. They aren't to play any part in your work here. Understood?
Understood,
Greer said.
Our passenger's not asking any questions.
Behind her, apparently feeling he needed to play some role in the drama, Joff nodded. She turned back toward the princess and C-3PO, inclining her head only briefly before she and Joff followed Pedric out of the docking station into Sibensko at large. If anything, the tunnels were even more impressive from inside. Braced with elaborate arches and struts, they carved enormous spaces out of the water. A crowd nearly as rough as the one on Chrome Citadel mingled about, evidently at ease this far away from any legitimate authorities. Greer even caught a glimpse of a young Hutt slithering disconsolately in the distance.
"We'll load your shipment as quickly as possible,"
Paydrick said, as they walked along, so swiftly that Joth practically had to jog to keep up.
"Which will take some time, actually. You know how it is with delicate cargo."
"Of course."
Greer didn't like the sound of this. What did delicate cargo refer to? Surely not slaves.
"Once we're loaded, you'll rendezvous with our contacts at the destination point and help transfer the cargo to them. That's it. Job done."
Paydrick had an oily smile.
"Though if I were you, I'd get off-world in a hell of a hurry."
"I usually do,"
Greer said, as they moved out of the main corridors, through a secure door Paydrick opened with a transdermal signal key implanted in his wrist.
"Doesn't pay to stick around after a job."
"With an attitude like that, you won't stay broke for long."
Paydrick said this with genuine approval.
"You're a go-getter. We'll have need for people like that once things have changed."
Greer turned toward him.
"What do you mean?"
"You'll see. Everyone will see before long."
Paydrick punched in an elaborate code, and yet another door opened into a small inner sanctum. Greer was grateful for the helmet she wore, which hid the shock on her face at the sight of thermal detonators. Thousands of them, all piled high in pallets, ready for transport. Her voice remained steady as she said,
"I see what you mean about delicate cargo."
Smugly, Paydrick nodded.
"Exactly."
"We'll take our time loading."
Greer addressed this to Joff, who stood so still she thought he might be in shock. She turned back to Paydrick.
"So where are these headed?"
Paydrick's smile widened.
"Straight to Hosnian Prime."
Through the thick cowl of her hooded robe, Leia took in the high, arched tunnels of Cybensko. The expanses of glass or whatever transparent material was in use stretched for enormous distances, far longer than she would have thought safe. For once, she and C-3PO were on the exact same page.
"It's a wonder this entire city hasn't broken down completely under the weight of the water,"
the droid said. Her sharp eyes picked out the details that revealed some of the arches to be more than arches. "Look up there. See the mechanism hidden in the framework? They've installed watertight doors, probably every couple hundred meters or so. This place is fortified against tunnel collapse." C-3PO seemed to brighten.
"How very reassuring."
"Maybe," Leia said. "Though it makes you wonder about the strength of the supports down here. The central joining seemed to be held together in only one place, capable of carrying the weight, but also capable of failing. Maybe criminal masterminds aren't the world's most cautious architects."
"Oh, dear."
Together, she and C-3PO made their way through the twisting maze of Cybensko. Leia went unrecognized, both a relief and a novel sensation. Computer terminals lined many hallways, and link-up stations were nearly as common as bars. But the work she needed to do required a terminal connected to Cybensko's computer core, which none of these commercial setups would provide. She took to wandering in and out of various stores, on the lookout for a lazy shopkeeper or an unlocked door. Nobody paid her any attention, but that did her no good if she couldn't find an inn. Finally, she and C-3PO reached a crowded cantina, where the barkeepers appeared to be as intoxicated as the patrons. Leia bought an ale, held it for a long time while only taking a few sips, and slowly edged her way farther inside. C-3PO dutifully followed behind. When someone brought up Ubardian oil wrestling on Hollow, leading to a wave of cheers, she used the distraction to slip into the back. At last! Leia pulled back the hood of her robe as she powered up the house computer. 3PO, can you get into this?
I should hope so,
he said primly.
It appears to be a rather primitive system.
Here's hoping the security system is equally primitive. Leia was gambling on Cybensko's extremely tight external security to pay off with a less secure internal system. Why worry about intruders when every single person on the planet had to provide approved codes to land? It was just the kind of assumption a self-satisfied mobster might make. Even Jabba had opened his palace doors for each of them so long ago. But artificial intelligence had its own ideas sometimes.
Dear me,
C-3PO said as he interfaced with the Cybensko system.
How very backward. It actually wants to try a hard data transfer.
Hard data transfers had their place in security. But at the moment, Leia had nothing to transfer the information to. Why hadn't she thought to bring something along? Can you convince it to just share the data directly?
I am trying.
C-3PO shook his head as if in disbelief.
The system isn't invulnerable, but I must say, it's awfully stubborn.
Leia managed not to thump her head against the nearest wall. Keep at it. It took a while. So long that her heart had begun to thump crazily with suspense. But at last, C-3PO convinced the system to open up. Within several minutes, the droid had gotten past the few information locks and was deep in conversation with the computer core. We're looking for any information about the Amaxine warriors, she urged. Any links between them and Rinriven Dai's cartel.
Yes, Your Highness. I believe such data is readily available. But now that we're talking, the core is proving rather chatty. It's had no one to speak with in ever so long.
Leia experienced the vaguely guilty sensation that surfaced every time she realized that droid personalities were more than programmed conversational quirks. A computer core could be lonely. C-3PO could take pity on it. But that was a question for another day. Download everything you can, 3PO. We need all the evidence we can get our hands on. C-3PO obtained extensive banking records proving that the Amaxine Warriors, or the nameless entity behind the Amaxine Warriors, had provided billions of credits in startup capital to Rinriven Dai 7 years prior. Only then had his cartel shifted from being a minor player to a major power. Arlie's Hadrassian's name came up several times, and C-3PO logged each one. Even more important, he found links that could be followed up on later, which might tie Rinriven Dai's funding to nameless sources on centrist worlds. Are they planning a major military buildup? Leia wondered. If so, the Amaxine warriors might be a test case, a hint of things to come. Yet she still resisted the idea that the centrist coalition of planets wanted war. Surely no one who had lived through the wars against the Empire would ever want to take up arms again.
Goodness gracious. Well, that was unexpected.
Leia turned back toward him. What?
The computer core is most fretful about an area beneath the city proper. It's rather large. Nearly as many square kilometers as the city itself. And it appears to be used solely by the Amaxines.
Show me the schematics. C-3PO did so, and Leia gaped when she took in the sheer scale of what they'd found. Her mind began doing the calculations. An area that vast couldn't be reserved for mere meetings. Not even a training area. That was a space large enough to contain an army. Can the computer tell us what's stored down there? Leia asked.
Starfighters, a few transport ships, and, oh my, a rather large number of armaments.
C-3PO swiveled his head toward her.
Perhaps we should have brought a military escort.
She went for her secure comlink. Are you there? Signal back if you can. After a moment, Joff Seastriker answered, his metallic filtered voice down to a whisper.
We're here. Greer's finalizing the shipment, which, by the way, is explosive. Literally and figuratively.
Leia grimaced. Then I'm glad we're the ones who got it. What's your timetable look like?
I think we'll be fully loaded pretty soon. The hover droids are bringing in the last crates now. What about you?
We've got everything we need to bring down the Amaxine warriors and Rinriven Dai. But we've also learned that Cybensko doubles as a military base. We can't leave here without investigating. She made up her mind in an instant. I'm going to send 3PO back to you with the data. Meanwhile, I'm going to head down to see what the Amaxine warriors are really up to. Maybe I can get some images we can use for additional evidence.
You shouldn't go alone,
Joff said with unexpected firmness.
Wait, and Greer or I will come to your location. Then we can look into it together.
No, you won't, Lieutenant. Apparently the kid needed to remember who ranked who around here. I know this part is risky. Extra people won't make it any safer. We'd just put more lives in danger. Resigned, Joff said only,
we're expected to take off within the hour.
And you will, with or without me. Leia took a deep breath. 3PO will reach you shortly. Get him off Cybensko no matter what. Nothing is as important as getting this data to the Galactic Senate. Not even my life. C-3PO, however, couldn't fathom it.
But Princess Leia, I couldn't abandon you here.
You can and you will, because it's an order. She put one hand on his metal shoulder, reminded of how much she actually cared for the droid. You're the key to bringing this all down, 3PO. You and no one else. This is one of the most critical missions you've had since you and R2 escaped with the plans for the first Death Star. Do you understand? As usual, appealing to C-3PO's sense of importance did the trick.
Of course, Your Highness. Rest assured that I shall ensure this information reaches the proper persons.
Thank you, 3PO. Leia glanced into the cantina. People were still thronged around the wrestling hollows, paying no attention to the back of the house. Now get out of here. Get to Greer and Joff as soon as you can. She remained in place for what seemed like a long while after C-3PO had gone, but what could in actuality have been only minutes. Then Leia raised the hood of her robe over her head and hastily ducked out.
And Notia has the advantage,
the wrestling announcer said, his voice broadcast loudly over the speakers as she threaded her way through the distracted group in the cantina.
Yes, it looks like it's Notia's day today.
Once Leia reached the corridor, she felt as if she could breathe again. She mentally superimposed the schematic C-3PO had shown her over the parts of this underwater city she could see and those she had already walked through. Her sense of direction had always been strong, and within seconds, she felt sure that she knew how to reach the lifts that would take her down to the Amaxine warrior's secret underground lair. Swiftly, she walked through the crowds, which were no longer as numerous as they had been earlier. Apparently, this was what passed for nighttime underneath Cybensko's ocean. Good, Leia thought. Fewer people to walk around. Fewer people who might notice us. If her luck held, she might be able to rendezvous with the others before very long. She turned a corner and descended a series of steps into a deeper tunnel, both longer and darker than the others. This one seemed to lead to the lift she wanted. Better yet, it seemed to be nearly deserted. Nobody else was walking through the tunnel but three figures not that far away. A Nikto and two of his guards. Leia's gut clenched. It couldn't be. Surely her mind was playing paranoid tricks on her. But she hadn't checked her tracker since they'd begun downloading information from the central computer. With every step she took, she became more certain that the Nikto walking toward her was none other than Rinriven Dai. Keep your hood on. Don't look at him. There's no reason for him to expect you here. Just stay calm. So Leia told herself, but she could sense that a confrontation was inevitable. Rinriven's voice echoed through the tunnel.
There you are at last. May I have the privilege of knowing precisely who it is who's been tracking me all this time? Though I must admit, I have an idea.
He held up something in his left hand. The holocube, even now playing her murder of Jabba the Hutt over again. pretense would be useless. Leia threw back her hood and veil to face him squarely. Rin Riven, fancy meeting you here. I regret that our reunion is taking place under such unfortunate circumstances. Cocking his head, Rin Riven said,
Do you honestly think I'm fool enough not to have sensors that would detect a signal from a tracking device?
She shrugged. I don't know. You were fool enough not to check for a tracking device in the first place. Rin Riven's leathery face shifted from a thin smile to a snarl. The gentlemanly mask had finally dropped away. What remained was the true man. Ugly, violent, and willing to kill. Leia was outnumbered, alone, beyond her authority, and trapped.